I'm John Batchelor. To the south of France, Occitane region. Simon Constable for Forbes and Barron's and the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications. We begin, however, it is the south of France. And the climate question is it perfect? Is it going to be perfect? Was it perfect yesterday? Simon, a very good day to you. Here in New England, we've had 5 or 6 days of a storm. Rain, rain, rain. It is now sunny. Now, that isn't the south of France weather. What have you experienced this last week? Good day to you.
Good day to you. It's been absolutely lovely. Absolutely lovely. It's 85 Fahrenheit here today. Light breeze, very sunny, very blue sky, and the same yesterday. It's absolutely lovely and cool evenings and nights. So it's this perfect situation. I'm sure in about a week it's going to be a lot cooler than this as we go fully into the fall, but we're not there yet. And so there's a little more time to go outdoors and swim in a pool or go for walks without getting either too cold or too sweaty. So absolutely lovely.
All right. Enough promotion of the south of France. Let's move on to prices. All right. Now, what we have in Europe is the second winter of war, which means that restrictions in some fashion of energy products. The two that matter the most are for Europe are diesel prices, refined oil. And Russia recently has announced that it's no longer exporting refined products anywhere, needs it for its own consumption. And high-octane gasoline. Let's start with the price of diesel. I've been watching it move, I think, between 1.6 euros and somewhere in the 2 area. Is it high? Have you seen it change, Simon?
We have seen it change quite rapidly over the last few weeks, and it's accelerated a bit more recently. It's now nationally 1.93 euro per liter. So that's about €7.30 per gallon or per US gallon, which is quite a lot higher. And I've seen locally it being charged even higher than that, or well above €2 per liter. Now the petrol, which is what we call gasoline here in Europe, is even higher price. It's a high octane. It's 95 octane gasoline, very high octane, very volatile. And that's now nationally a little bit above €2 a liter. So that's even more expensive. I'm sure that will come down at some point, but it's certainly going to take a bit of a chunk out of people's pocketbooks over the next few weeks.
And be passed on to food prices. So we move from energy. Any change in your electricity rates?
The electricity rates haven't changed, and a lot of people are locked into a monthly bill through their electricity supplier, where as long as you keep within a certain usage amount in terms of kilowatt hours or megawatt hours, depending on how big your home is, you only pay that monthly fee, and if you get a lot the higher charges if you go over that, and most people try to stay within. So in terms of that, nothing bad has happened.
The French electricity is chiefly nuclear powered. They have a fleet. The first winter of using that fleet last winter, there were lots of repair products needed. There was lots of attention to the fleet. The fleet is said to be in fine working order right now, and the envy of all the neighboring countries. I believe Germany even buys electricity from France because it took, or it's planning to take, all of its nuclear power down. Now we move to
that is absolutely true, and so does Britain. Electricity de France, EDF, sends its electricity to many other places. It is such an efficient operation.
And it dominates the story of nuclear power in the 21st century, how to turn this into a product you need in an emergency, which it is right now, second year of war. There's much dissent in Eastern and Central Europe about how much longer the war is going on. I have not seen similar dissent in France. Have you, Simon? Have you seen any talk about backing away from Ukraine from Macron or any of the voices?
I have heard no sense of that. I've heard jets going overhead. These are fighter jets in training missions. I've seen the army about and people getting ready if they need to be ready for battles, but no chance of saying, no, we don't want anything to do with this, which is a very good sign. You prepare for peace by having a strong army, and that's what the French are doing right now.
We move to your original country. This would be Great Britain. And you tell me there's a story about the Lloyd Fraser Dairy Trucking Company, now in administration, based in Warwickshire. What's happened? And how does this affect your cup of tea?
It's a fascinating story, and I feel really bad for them. Administration is like when you go bankrupt, or Chapter 11 or Chapter 7 bankruptcy in the U.S. You either get completely reorganized or liquidated, and the administrator is what the people who come from the government when that happens. So this company was taking fresh milk from farmers and trucking that down to the ultimate customers, would be people who would bottle it or make it into other things like cheese and all of that stuff. Now, when this company went into administration, the administrator showed up and fired all the drivers and said, no, sorry, you don't have jobs anymore. And then these trucks weren't showing up at all the farmers. So the farmers had all this milk in its individual storage containers, which would be huge things with, you know, hundreds of gallons of milk in there, which they would then send off periodically via the trucks. That wasn't getting picked up. So a lot of farmers had to basically send the old milk into what is called a slurry pit, just to leave it there and then fill it up with the new milk from the cows, because the cows need to be milked every day, maybe twice a day. And that wasn't happening. And so the estimate I heard on the radio in a program called Farming Today, which I listened to probably more than I should do, said it could easily have been 1 million gallons of milk that was sent to slurry pits by farmers. And that's really not a very good situation. And it's not a very good situation because in Britain, 100 million cups of tea are drunk per day, which is completely a huge amount. It's an absolutely huge amount. And it's far greater than the 70 million cups of coffee that are drunk every day. And it's completely different from anywhere else in Europe where coffee is drunk largely without milk. So we've got a lot of milk needs here. And it's not good. It's not good because if you don't have your tea, how are you going to keep warm?
Can you drink tea without milk? Is that possible?
It's not possible for me to drink it without. I love a very strong cup of tea, good black tea, really, you know, stewed for a while, you know, more than just a whiff, just a lot of flavor in it, and then a lot of milk in there. And you've got this great thing. You can dip a cookie or what we call a biscuit in the UK into it, eat that, and then drink and stay warm and stay perky. And it's absolutely wonderful. And now that's been threatened by this very fragile supply chain. I didn't know it was that fragile and could be knocked out or partly knocked out by one company going bust. This is just one trucking company. It's really amazing.
Another emergency for the Sunak government in London. Tea without milk. What's civilization for? Simon Constable in the south of France, where it is perfect. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.